Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Many viewers of the channel, welcome back to another episode of our series In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Remember, there are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated, Man salla alayya wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashra, that he who recites salat upon me once in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows 10 blessings upon that person. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah wa azzawajal, in our series In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, we hear about the life, the biography of the greatest of all mankind, the messenger of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Some of the events which transpired during his blessed life to increase our love for the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course to attempt to, wherever we can, wherever possible, emulate the manners and characteristics of the blessed messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Previously, mashallah, we heard about the immigration of some of the Muslims of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the migration from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Abyssinia, yes, modern-day Ethiopia. So from Makkah al-Mukarramah, they had to travel towards Al-Bahr, towards the sea, and then on boat, they crossed the sea to go on. They arrived in Abyssinia, which was ruled by Ashuma, a person, Ashuma or Ashama, which is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. This was his actual name, his title, and he's famously known as An-Najashi, which is the title for the leader of Abyssinia. This was their title. Now, what we heard previously was that there were two people who also sent. Remember, this migration took place twice. There was a migration which took place, and some of the people, they returned because they were spread false information. They were told that the people of Mecca have all accepted Islam. And previously we heard about the story that who was sent behind them. There was a person by the name of Amr ibn al-As, as well as another by the name of Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'a. They were sent after them to encourage Najashi to return the Muslims and send them back to the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And Amr ibn al-As was very, very intelligent. What did he say? He later accepted Islam, radiallahu anhuma. Both of them do later. Well, Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, great companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at this time he was not a Muslim. Umar ibn al-As and Abdullah ibn Rabi'a, they take with them presents and gifts, and they bring them to the generals first around Najashi. And they say to them, this is what those people have done, and now we will come to the court of Najashi tomorrow, to his royal court, and we shall request this of him, and we hope you will also back us in this, and you will also encourage Najashi to accept our proposal to send them and allow us to take them back to Mecca, where they will be served justice, justice according to them. And then the next day, they come before Najashi, they come to his court, bearing gifts, many, many gifts, many, many presents to give him. He accepts them at first, and then there's a story that what happens, he asks them, to Muslims, to recite what? To recite some of the Quran, to recite some of the script or some of the holy book which they have been granted. Upon hearing the Quran al-Kareem, it brought him to tears as well as those around him, so much so that the scrolls they had before them became moist due to their tears. And of course, Amr ibn al-As, the non-believers at the time who brought this case before the king against the Muslims, they had lost, they were defeated. But then Amr ibn al-As, he says something. He says that tomorrow I will tell Najashi something, meaning I'm going to come again tomorrow. And tomorrow when I come, I will tell him something which will uproot all of them. It will uproot them all. Meaning tomorrow I will bring something which tomorrow, don't worry. Whatever happened today, tomorrow I'm going to come again. But this time they're not going to get away with it. Now, Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, he said that Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah was much more God-fearing, you can say, even at that time. And what he says, do not do this. He says, do not do this, for they are your brothers, they are your kindred. And yes, although they may have gone against us. But Amr ibn al-As says, no, I am going to do this. And I'm going to tell Najashi that what they claim, what they believe, that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that Jesus, Sayyidina Isa, the son of Maryam radiallahu anha, is only a person, only a man. And then tomorrow when I tell him this, then this will make him happy and this will make us win. So what happened? The next day, he goes to them and he says this before Najashi, before the people, and again they call the Muslims. Again the Muslims become worried. What are we going to say in front of him? Why is it that he's called us again? Yes, he gathers all the people and he asks them, what do you believe? What is your belief? About Sayyidina Isa, about Jesus. What is it that you believe? And they reply, again telling him what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, telling him what they believed. And they said that we believe Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is Abdullah. We believe he is Ruhullah. We believe he is Kalimatullah. And we believe he was born without a father. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam only from the mother. Yes. And he said that when Najashi radallahu anhu, when he heard this, that he takes a stick. Yes, he takes a stick from the ground and he says, by Allah, Isa, the son of Maryam, does not exceed what you have said even by the length of this stick. It's just a small stick. His generals who were around him, they became quite worried too. Has this person accepted Islam? Later it's actually said that they later actually approach him because they're worried, because news spread, oh, this person has left his religion. And he writes on a piece of paper that I believe that there's one God, Allah, and Isa is a prophet of Allah, is a messenger of Allah. Now, Isa, Rasulullah, alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember, even Muslims, they also believe this. And so it said that An-Najashi, he repeated this three times. And then he says that he, whoever curses you to the Muslims, whoever curses you, we will find that person. And he says that even if I was to be offered a mountain of gold, I would not allow anybody to harm you. He orders for the presents, for the gifts that the people from Makkah al-Mukarramah brought. He says, give them back. I have no use for them. Yes, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned my kingdom, he took no bribe from me and he gave me back my kingdom. And so why should I take a bribe for this kingdom? Allahu Akbar. And so Najashi, he promised them, do not worry, continue to worship your God, continue to do as you wish and I will support you. I will always help you and you can live in comfort with security. And then the Muslims state that we rose, we lived in such comfort where nobody would say anything to us. Whatever we would say, whatever we would preach, whatever worship we would perform, we would not be harmed by anybody whatsoever. Allahu Akbar. This, my dear viewers of Madani channel, was how Sayyidina Najashi radiallahu ta'ala anhu had helped and aided the Muslims. It said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also sent a message to An-Najashi. He invited An-Najashi to Islam. And Sayyidina An-Najashi replies that, I am a Muslim. And he replies and says to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I am a Muslim. And if you wish, you can summon me. If you wish, you can call me to yourself. I will leave my kingdom and I will come and serve you. Allahu Akbar. In the Sunan of Abu Dawood, it's stated, and this is mentioned by عن أبي بردة عن أبيه قال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن ننطلق إلى أرض النجاشي. He tells a story that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered us to go towards the land of Najashi, to go towards Abyssinia. فذكر حديثه. And then he mentioned, you know, everything which was said. قال النجاشي. And النجاشي says, I bear witness that he is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنَّهُ الَّذِي بَشَّرَ بِهِ عِيسَى بن مَرْيَمْ. And he is the same person who said that Isa ibn Maryam gave the good news about. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, I am that person whom Sayyidina Isa gave good news about. Yes, he told his people about the less Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And then Najashi says, وَلَوْلَا مَا أَنَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْمُلْكِ لَأَتَيْتُهُ حَتَّى أَحْمِلَ نَعْلَيْهِ. And this is so beautiful. He says, now, if I was not in this position of kingdom, I would have came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look what he says from all the things. He says that, لَأَتَيْتُهُ, I would have come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I would have held the shoes, the slippers of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would have been the bearer of the slippers, meaning the caretaker of the slippers of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. This was Sayyiduna Najashi radhiallahu anhu, who was actually a tabi'i. But he's also that tabi'i who brought a sahabi to Islam. So Sayyiduna Amr ibn al-As radhiallahu anhu, who came to speak to Najashi, and Najashi actually invited him to Islam. And he actually encourages him to go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accept Islam. And so Amr ibn al-As radhiallahu anhu, he accepts Islam at the hands of Najashi, and later he goes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So some state that he accepted Islam at the hands of Najashi, others state that not upon the encouragement of Najashi, he went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go and accept Islam. He was that tabi'i, the only which, according to my knowledge, wallahu alam, the only tabi'i to ever bring a sahabi to Islam. But wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam bis sawab. I'm not completely sure about that, but subhanallah, Sayyidina Najashi radhiallahu anhu, he was and he accepted Islam. And later what happened is, later he passes away, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who possessed the ilm al-ghayb, knowledge of the unseen granted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari that عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين مات النجاشي, or when Najashi passed away, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مات اليوم, today has passed away. Who has passed away? رجل صالح, a pious man has passed away. فَقُومُوا, so he orders the Muslims to stand. فَصَلُّوا عَلَىٰ أَخِيكُمْ أَصْحَمَ, he says, so let's stand and let's pray salah upon your brother, meaning let's pray the funeral salah. And this was a speciality of An-Najashi, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for him, prayed the Salatul Janaza, the funeral prayer, in the absence of the body. Because normally, remember, the ruling is, the Hanafi ruling is, that you cannot pray funeral salah upon the person who is ghaib, upon the person who is not present. The body must be present for you to pray the funeral salah. So why was it that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it? Some of the scholars state this is because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a messenger of Allah. Yes, he is also the shari'. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also able to lay down rules of Islam, and this was his speciality. This was unique to him. Only the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is able to do this, recite somebody's funeral prayer in the absence. Some of the scholars have stated the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen Najashi was in front of him, the body was there, And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam had performed his funeral prayer. So this was Najashi, the Abyssinian king, and Najashi, who had accepted Islam, the first king to have accepted Islam, and especially in the life, this was also in the life, meaning the apparent life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Another very, very important incident which occurred is the Islam, or the acceptance of Islam, of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is absolutely very, very significant in the history of Islam, and very, very important, because we would all know that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the second Khalifa of Islam, the second Caliph of Islam. He had spread Islam so much throughout his entire life that many historians state that if he was to live another 10 years, then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would have, the empire of Islam would have spread throughout the entire world. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. Previously we heard about the story of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu, who accepted Islam. It said there's only a difference of 3 days. There's only a difference of three or so days. So I'm narrating these stories or the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in accordance to the different books I will read. So sometimes I am reading one book in more detail, other times I'm reading other books. So in accordance to the books and how they decide, because there are no specific days. Like we said, Sayyidina Hamza radhiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam when? Possibly the 5th, possibly before that. But many would say it's also the 6th. Yeah, so when it comes to timeline, we cannot be completely accurate as to what occurred before or after which incident. But Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radhiallahu anhu, it's mentioned that he's the 40th or 39th or mostly the 40th person to accept Islam, and he accepted Islam only a few days after Sayyidina Hamza radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the story of Sayyidina Umar radhiallahu anhu, how he accepted Islam? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also did dua, Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi Umar ibn al-Khattab. Some of the scholars mention he says specifically Umar ibn al-Khattab, or either Abu Jahl, whose name was also Umar, or Amr, and also Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did dua specifically that Allah ta'ala grant honor to Islam with Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But what happened initially, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at first, and when he hears that so many people are accepting Islam, this angers him that they're leaving. Why? Because he was hardcore on the belief of his forefathers, and when he hears people are coming towards Islam, this saddens him so much so that he takes out his sword. He was known for his strength, his courage, his, you know, he was a ferocious individual, and he takes his sword. How? He's already taken his sword out, he's in anger, and he's going to the house of Arqam, Arqam ibn al-Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he hears the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present there. As he's going on the way, he meets a person by the name of Nu'aym ibn Abdullah, a person by the name of Nu'aym, who's the son of Abdullah. Now, Nu'aym ibn Abdullah was the friend of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. However, Nu'aym had accepted Islam too. But Sayyidina Umar did not know about this, because many people, they had hidden that they've accepted Islam. They kept it hidden. So he sees Sayyidina Umar with his sword. I said, "Oh, Umar, where are you going?" He says, "Don't stop me. I'm going to Mazallah to kill now Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And so he begins to panic. He becomes worried. He's also accepted Islam. So he's worried. He thinks, "What do I do?" So then, you know, how do I quickly turn him away from that? Because he's so angry. I can't do nothing. He'll kill me. And he's very intelligent what he does. That he says, why do you go first set your own house in order? Meaning that from all the things which could deter Umar, it has to be something which hurts him more. And what was that? Oh, your own sisters accepted Islam. So now that's something affecting his pride even more. And that's something which, first I need to go do that. It's even more important. And so he goes to the house of Sayyidina Fatima, Fatima bint al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anha. When he knocks on the door, Sayyidina Fatima realizes there's Umar outside. When Sayyidina Umar was outside, he heard the whispering inside the house. And he heard some words. And he was thinking, what are those words? And Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, as well as Sayyidina Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And inshallah, another time we will speak about such people, Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, like people at Waraqa ibn Nawfal, and such people. It's mentioned there were approximately four people who inshallah we shall speak about later. But Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he hears them, they're inside, they're being taught. Yes, they've been taught the Quran. When he enters, then the teacher, Sayyidina Khabbab, he begins to hide. And when Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he enters and he sees them, he says that he becomes angry and he begins to hit the husband of Sayyidina Fatima bint Khattab radiallahu anha. She stops and comes in the middle. Yes, and when she comes in the middle to stop Umar from hitting him, Sayyidina Umar, he strikes Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, and when she is struck, she begins to bleed, and she says, no matter what you do, you're not going to stop us. And this hits him, it strikes him, and he thinks, oh wow. And then he comes to his senses, and he has hurt his beloved sister. Oh no, I've hurt my sister, what do I do? And he says to her, okay, show me that which you were reading. When this is brought, when the Quran is brought to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he begins to read some verses of the Quran. He reads, for example, "Sabbaha lillahi ma fi samawati wal ard wa huwa al-aziz al-hakim." Whatever is in the heavens and the earth, they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the esteemed one, and He is the wise. Also, the verse of the Quran, "Aminu billah wa rasulihi," that believe in Allah and believe in His Messenger, sallallahu taala alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. And when these words are all striking him, the eloquence of these words, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he was a very, very eloquent person. He was very, very eloquent. He had knowledge of eloquence itself in the Arabic, and he immediately discovered that this is something which cannot be made, cannot be created, cannot be composed by any man. This must be the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This must be the word of God. And so he accepts Islam. And when he accepts Islam, now he's also going, again, he's going towards the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knocks on the door, and when they see that it's Umar outside, and they say to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Is Umar?" Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to let him in, Sayyidina Hamza. Many people become worried. Sayyidina Hamza says, "Allow him in. If he comes in peace, then we will allow him. But if he comes to cause harm, then I will kill him with his own sword." This was the lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, he comes, he swears the shahada, he comes in Islam, and the people begin to do the takbir and say Allahu Akbar so loudly that the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, they hear this. Allahu Akbar. And then my dear viewers, things change. This day, when Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam, he had accepted Islam, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave the name of Faruq, which distinguishes righteousness from wronghood, good versus evil, or correctness, the truth against falsehood. This was Faruq, and this is the title of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, as Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Until this time, the Muslims remained hidden. The Muslims, they remained hidden until the time of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he accepted Islam. And inshallah, in the next episode, we shall hear more about what happens, how Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he tells people about his religion. He himself doesn't do it. He does it through somebody else. But when he does it, Allahu Akbar. It said that even immediately after this time, Sayyidina Umar says, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, are we not on the truth? Are we not on the haq?" And the Messenger of Allah says, "Yes, of course we are." He says, "Why are we not going out to the people and telling them?" So they made two lines. Yes. And then they went out in front of the people. Yes, and they went out in front of the people. Imagine having Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. Imagine having Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Ali al-Murtada, karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem, these champions. Yes, these heroes, such strong people. And imagine the people, you know, how they would come back. Allahu Akbar, Islam was brought on it. No doubt even strength with the help of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is how some people then showed how Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab came in Islam. But Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, he wanted to tell everybody, he wasn't afraid. That the Muslims have been persecuted, I wish to be persecuted too. It said about Sayyidina Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu an, that he had protection by Walid ibn al-Mughira. But when he thought, oh look, everyone's getting hurt, I'm not getting hurt, he says, I refuse that protection. Some of them, they wished to take that pain to suffer like some of the other Muslims, they were hurt. And they were being persecuted too. So some had actually refused help. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, he was also given protection. And inshallah, we shall speak about this later or in our next coming episode. Inshallah, as well as so much more from the blessed life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Any views of Madani channel, we should try to even read. You see, this has become very brief. I didn't imagine it to be so brief, but it has become very, very brief. But it's more important that, you know, we try to learn these lessons. We know these stories, things we could remember. So that we could pass these on to our children, so that we could pass these on to others too, inshallah, and increase our love for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. If I've said anything wrong, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me, and join us again for more of In the Footsteps of the Prophet, sallallahu alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.